Please give a warm welcome to our speaker, Annette L. from Pismo Beach, California.
Hi, good morning, family. My name is Annette Linstead. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank Sunny for inviting me to participate. I want to thank my sponsor, Ronald White, for being here to listen in. He told me he will not be able to unmute, but he has just been I call him my Obi-Wan. He has been my wise advisor, and he knows I need to talk to him. Because I had some behavior this weekend, but I'm really grateful for an opportunity. And it's so funny. Al got step two, and I really felt like step two was an experience I wanted to share about because I've struggled so much with God. But I've also come to a place in my sobriety today where I trust that whatever hand is dealt to me, it's because that's God's will for me, even if I don't like it. And sometimes I resist it and I throw a little temper tantrum like I did this weekend. And sometimes I just accept it with grace, and that's really up to God. And I appreciate that we prayed, but so the stats are, my sobriety date is November 3rd, 2004. So I've been sober a little over 19 years. And anyone who knew me before I got sober knows that there's a God, even if they can't explain what it is, because I truly, truly was a completely different person and a lost, empty shell of a human being. I am so weird because I've gone through all these phases in my sobriety. There was a time that a friend of mine, I must have like 14 or 15 years sobriety, and he would say to me, he would call me Spock. And I was like, what, why are you calling me Spock or Vulcan? He's like, because you don't show any emotion. You're just so serious all the time. And I realized that was a coping mechanism. And through doing some deeper work around trauma and stuff, I've become a crier. And it's so bizarre to me because I didn't cry for years. For years, I just couldn't reach that place and I just couldn't feel anything. I was so scared to go there, even though I was sober. So I'm not, you know, I am. It's funny, I had this idea. I knew this day was approaching and I thought, oh, I'm going to read step three in the 12 and 12 because I know basically what it says, but I want to refresh it and everything, and had this plan, and I didn't do any of it. I mean, whatever you get is God's will. So Ronald White's my sponsor. My home group is on Zoom. It's the Never Too Early Big Book Workshop. And that is my church. And we always open that meeting with a prayer that I would like to say, because I say this prayer anytime I work with a sponsee, anytime I put pen to paper, I say this prayer, and it's, God, help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, this process, and you, God, for an open mind and a new experience. And I'm just going to add to it, speak through me. Help me say something that's going to help at least one person in this Zoom room. And help me stay honest and vulnerable and just willing to speak the truth. And help me recall all that needs to be said to inspire people on the step that I've been asked to present today. And with that, I'll just tell you that a little background on me. I grew up in a home with no alcoholics. But I had some trauma as a child. I was sexually abused by a friend of the family starting at a really, really young age. I was like a toddler, and it went on repeatedly for a long time. And what I believe that most of us have had some kind of trauma in our life. And that, you know, that for me led me to have some skewed ideas about relationships. And because my mom is Latina, she's from Colombia. I proudly have my Colombian flag on my thing. But Latin culture is very touchy-feely, huggy-kissy. And from the time I was a child, I learned to have no boundaries. I learned that how other people feel is more important than how I felt. And so with that, I learned to use my sexuality even as a young child and as an growing up, budding body as a manipulation tool. And also, I have my dad's side of the family's Jewish, my mom's side of the family's Catholic. And so what has been presented to me as God or religion, I just saw a lot of hypocrisy, not only within my family, but with people that I would encounter. So by the time that I made it to Alcoholics Anonymous, step one was easy for me. I knew I was powerless. I readily admitted that I was powerless over drugs and alcohol and a lot of other things. I belong to a lot of 12-step programs. That's my disclaimer. But when people talked of God in the meetings, I was almost like a demon in The Exorcist. It was like, oh, there's a religious thing. I did not say the Lord's Prayer for the first 5 years of my sobriety. One day, when I was sitting in a room, people were saying the Lord's Prayer and they're holding hands. And I'd always shut my mouth and just, sit there with my mouth shut and not participate in the meeting and have this attitude because I'm going to try not to cuss. I'm a cusser. I'm so self-centered that in my head, I'm thinking, don't these idiots know there's people like me and they're going to chase us out of the room because we don't want to hear the Lord's Prayer because that's a Christian thing and we have Christian trauma and blah, 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 blah. And all these crazy ideas go in my head because I'm so self-centered. I'm making it about me and I'm making it about anyone who might be like me, who might just not be able to handle that prayer. And got news for you. If you're one of those people that repels and gets irritated by the Lord's Prayer, I'm still here. It didn't chase me out of the rooms. I guess I was desperate enough. I had the gift of desperation to stay. But after 5 years, when the light bulb came in my head that said, no one's excluding you from participating in this prayer except you. And I decided to learn it and start saying it. Now I don't have any problem saying it. But I just have to tell you, I went through that. But when I had to start actually seeking a relationship with God, well, first I'll say that the part of the big book that I first identified, that I really identified strongly with, oddly enough, is step three. It's the part where it talks about right after the ABCs. And it says, alcoholics are like actors who want to direct the whole show, always trying to arrange the lights. We might be really kind, manipulative, gracious, or we might be, egotistical, self-centered, mean, whatever. And that we're trying to snatch the scene and control everything. And don't you think everybody in your life sees that that's what you want? And then it goes on to the next page to say selfishness and self-centeredness, we believe, is the root of our problems. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, dishonesty, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate seemingly without provocation. And boom, the light bulb went on my head and I was like, oh, that's me. I recognized myself in that. And I remember going to a meeting. And it's funny because my sponsor always has permission to share who had a revelation for him when he went through something difficult. And I got permission from Bill Cleveland to say, I heard him say in a meeting that he was working with a sponsee and said, okay, let's pray. And he said, the sponsee says, I can't do step three because I don't believe in God. And his response was, well, no one really does. Let's just pray anyway. And When I heard him say that, I mean, my sponsor, who's going to be silent, but he's present, can tell you that it wasn't that long ago that I called him up on the phone and said, I don't believe in God. You know? And Ralph, his brother, said to me, Annette, when you were locked up in the bathroom and you couldn't stop doing what you were doing, what stopped you finally? And I said, well, I got arrested. And he said, that didn't stop you. You've been arrested. How many times you've been arrested? You've been, I mean, I was a revolving door. I'd get arrested. The minute I got released, there was a pipe in the car. There was out. I'm a nurse. It's a miracle that I have my nursing license. I did lose it, by the way, and by God's grace, I got it back. But I was the nurse who would go to work and pour Coca-Cola out of a bottle and put vodka in it because I believe the myth that no one can smell vodka. And I would pass meds and hit that bottle while I'm working, taking care of human beings who are sick, who are compromised. And I don't know that I haven't harmed anybody in that process, but nothing obvious happened as a nurse. And I have I'm not doing ninth step here, so I won't talk about my amends process, but I'll just say that, it's a miracle because I take care of really, really sick people. And I did then, and I have no recollection. I mean, I was just worried about my Coca-Cola bottle and nobody accidentally taking a sip of it and nobody knowing, what I was up to. But when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, oh shit, I better get to step three. I was first drawn to the Native American spirituality. Nature has always been a place that I connected with my idea of God. Joseph Campbell was a huge influence for me. And Star Wars was the whole The Force, which is Joseph Campbell. That's why Ronald is my Obi-Wan. And I would go to these Native American sweat lodges, and I really, when I got sober, I really enjoyed whitewater rafting. And I'm a thrill junkie. I like danger. I'll bungee jump. I do all kinds of crazy shit. Sorry, I cussed. And I liked whitewater rafting. And I'd get in that raft and I would feel the force of the water underneath me, underneath the raft. And I called that, that's Mother Earth, right? That's of nature. That's Mother Earth. And I think of my Obi-Wan, Ronald, as like my scout who's going to look at the river and say, you know, Annette, this is how I think you should navigate it. And from my experience, I would try this, And then if I take his direction, I might successfully make it through some rough spots. But I also believe that if it's God's will that I'm going to take my will back and I'm going to say, you know what? I think that looks like a better way to go. I might hit the rocks. I might flip my boat. I might get washed ashore. I don't know what's going to happen. But I also trust that when that kind of stuff happens, that it's because there's a lesson for me to learn in it. And I'll tell you, I've been learning some hard lessons even at this part of my sobriety. My relationship with God has grown over time. And I don't know. I guess I'm going to ask whoever's in charge. I wanted to read non-AA stuff, but it's a God thing. Just to kind of explain really where is that okay if I read a short something? Okay. So there's a person on Facebook that I follow. His name's Jim Palmer. He used to be a preacher and he's now not. And so I identify with him because he talks about the hypocrisy of the mega churches, how they donate for politics, but they don't actually help people and all that. So anyway, this was on his post and it's called, this is a story. It says, there once was a little wave rolling through the ocean. One day he was passing by another group of waves. And he heard them discussing water. The little wave kept rolling, but later started thinking about this matter of water. They were discussing, I wonder what that is, he thought. The little wave surmised that it must be important or they would not have been discussing it. So the little waves set out to find this thing they called water. And discovering why it mattered so much, he imagined that attaining it would be the most significant discovery of its time, of its lifetime. The little wave rolled far and wide and searched day and night to find and discover this thing, water, but the little wave could not find it or attain it. From one end of the ocean to the other, the little wave searched to no avail. Then one day, the dejected little wave was slowly rolling along, and a wise old wave noticed how disheartened the little wave was. And he asked the little wave, "Why are you so sad?" And the little wave said, he explained the whole ordeal, hearing about water, how extraordinary he imagined it must be, searching everywhere to find it and discover it, but failing to attain it. And the wise old wave was taken aback by the little wave's explanation of his problem. With a caring smile and great compassion, the wise old wave said to him, "Little wave, you are the water." And that's what my spiritual practice looks like today. Like I said, I qualify for a lot of 12-step programs, and I'm a member of several 12-step programs. And the one thing that they all have in common is the solution. They say that every single 12-step program that I participate in says that I suffer from spiritual sickness, a spiritual malady, and that the only solution is to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And, you know, the whole steps, they're really brilliant. You know, I have to be powerless before I can come to believe, because I was like a demon, like, get away from me, religion. The whole word God made me just bristle with antagonism. I struggled so hard with it, and I fought it tooth and nail, because like in the big book in step two, not the big book, the 12 and 12, where it says, you know, that we miss the beauty of the forest for the ugliness of a few trees. And I was judging the whole of religion by the hypocrisy of a few people. And I can tell you that I have friends and people that I, and not friends, and I'm a traveler. I've been blessed enough to travel around the world. I've been to Muslim countries, I've been to Buddhist countries. And I've found the most beautiful people of all faiths or of no faith. And so I, you know, and it's funny because what I had the most antagonism towards was Christianity. But my boyfriend today, he was raised Catholic, and he's actually a very religious person. And he goes to his church, and I tell him, I say, He's gone. It's easy for him to go to the Never Too Early Big Book Workshop because it's on Zoom. And he's listened to it, and he's just blown away. And all I can tell you is that for someone who struggled so much, I love 12-step recovery, because I came into this room so broken, really broken. There was nothing in the world. I could not stop. I don't know if I finished saying what Ralph told me. You know, I told him I got arrested a bunch of times. Finally, he kept saying, "Well, what made you stop?" And I finally said, "I don't know." He just pinned me in that corner. And he said, "Well, whatever it is that made you stop, seek a relationship with that." And for me, I don't do it perfectly. I am religious about praying. I pray in the morning. I pray at night. It's backwards. I work night shift. I pray before I go to sleep. I pray when I wake up. When I'm not working, I pray. Same thing. When I have to have a conversation with someone that I don't want to have, I first pray and I invite God in, especially when I'm challenged. I invite God in, and I ask for the willingness to just hear what people have to say and ask God to speak through me. The other thing, this is a Katie Parker line, okay? But My sponsor has compared me to her, and she says, I'm kind of like drinking water from a fire hose. There's a lot coming at you. I do have that kind of personality. And sometimes one of my big character defects is my perfectionism. I try so hard to be perfect. And the problem with that is, besides that it leaves me feeling like I'm not enough, is it also leaves me feeling like you're not enough. You're not doing it right. And so I always ask, because every once in a while I realize I'm being a fire hose, especially at work, because I'm a supervisor. And I want the people, the new nurses that come in to succeed, but sometimes they're just not doing it right. And then I invite God in. I invite God in. It's just amazing. And for me, when I can pray with somebody, is a prayerful person, if I can pray with them, it's magical. It really is magical. I really have come to a place. I mean, I used to say, okay, Mother Earth, that's my God. I had to make that like my higher power idea. But I have really come to a place where I don't have to know what God is. I had an experience, right? I can't tell you if God's a man or a woman or whatever God is, or a wave. God's the water. I like God as the water. That fits my Mother Earth, my river thing, right? In my sobriety, I lost my nursing license. And I think that, first of all, before I lost my license, because I was put into Prop 36 and I was in this program. And I started working again for a place while I was sober. And the place that I was working for got to like and value me. And so when the nursing board caught up with me and said, you lied about being arrested, you lied about this stuff, and we're suspending your license, and you can come to a hearing. This is how my higher power works in my life. I was sober 3 years and I was already established. By the way, I like to tell share this with people because oh, you didn't leave my full name up there. My name, well, I guess you're recording, so I won't say my full name. If you Google my full name, Los Angeles Times, 2008, nurses, it will tell you the kind of nurse I was. Los Angeles Times published an article about how the state of California is not protecting the public from nurses like me. Because the reason I share that is because, first of all, I tend to sponsor nurses because a lot of them are going through that same thing. And second of all, anyone who reads that article says, wow, I can't believe that that was you. And all I can tell you, I don't know what God is, but I could not stop for nothing. I could not stop putting something into my body. I was restless, irritable, and discontent, and I didn't even know it. I was drinking, smoking, having sex, partying in the name of fun. I'm a fun person to be around. We're wild and crazy, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I didn't know that that behavior was just a desperate attempt to feel better. I didn't know that I felt like an empty shell. I just was numb. Hence, I became Spock. I became that person who couldn't feel, who couldn't cry, who couldn't let you in. I couldn't get into a healthy re I did get married in AA, and it was about the healthiest relationship. Okay, thank you so much. About the healthiest relationship I ever had in my life. Yet, should I put a timer on, or can you give me a 1 minute so I can wrap it up at 1 minute? Thank you. I didn't know. I mean, I remember my first sober relationship thinking like, wow, this is the first time I've ever been sober and present. And I was present to the best of my ability, but I didn't know how numb I was until I got down and really prayed and put pen to paper and really addressed the stuff that happened to me as a child, because it explained so much to me. It explained why I didn't feel like I was enough, and why I behaved the way I behaved, and why I didn't trust anybody. I didn't feel safe with anybody. And you know, the big thing is the projection. You know, I don't feel safe with other people because I wasn't a safe person either. And I thought that you were going to cheat on me the way I'd cheat on you. And you know, by stopping and saying, God, please make me who you want me to be. Help me become that person, the woman that you would have me be. And, you know, I still see today where fear is paralyzing me in some ways. And I come up with excuses, and some of them seem pretty rational. And, but like I said, I've come to believe that everything that's happened in my life, people who come into my life, you know, everything, there's a saying that we say in the rooms of SLA, which is Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. They say rejection is God's protection. The other one they say is rejection is God's redirection. And probably like the best example of this I have is as a sober nurse, I always wanted to work for the state of California because the benefits are really good and the retirement's really good. And I wanted to work for the prison system because I thought that I, more than the people who they hire, can identify with these people and treat them with a little more humanity and forgiveness and still have boundaries. And so, but mostly I wanted the benefits. And so I'd go for the jobs, I'd go for the interviews, I'd apply for them, and I got rejected every time, every time. The place I've been working for, that I'm working for now, I worked for them since 2006. I actually got fired because of being mouthy, and then I got rehired. And now I'm a supervisor position, and they value me so much that I live part-time in Los Angeles. It says Pismo Beach. That's where I'm at right now. But when I'm not working, I'm in Los Angeles. And I have a home down there and I have a home up here. And when I told them, I said, I'm moving to LA. I'm willing to keep working for you, but this is the schedule you have to give me. I'll work 1 week here and take 1 week off. And they were willing to do that for me. When I say I'm going to Woodstock West in May and I need this weekend off, they give it to me. I don't have to put in a request. I tell them I'm going to do this. And they say, okay. I'm going to go on a cruise. My boyfriend's a professional musician, and he played at the Smooth Jazz Cruise out of Miami, and I had the opportunity to go on a pre thank you, and they gave it to me. You know, that's how God works in my life. I thought the grass was greener over there, but lo and behold, God gives me exactly what I need, and even so, that rejection from that job was a gift to me, and I didn't even recognize it until now, right? Hindsight's 2020. Anyway, I'm in this last minute, and I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you. I love you, boss, my Obi-Wan, and my never too early family. I do have my phone number by my name, and I tell people to call, reach out if you want to. I really have a full plate, but I'm available for outreach. And if I'm sleeping, you won't wake me up because I turn my phone on silent. So reach out if you need to. And thank you for letting me participate today.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Annette. AA has no dues or fees for AA membership, but we do have expenses. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. We are observing the seventh tradition digitally on Venmo. Our Venmo address is going to be posted in the chat. Also, the Venmo address is @beacon-group. We also have the snail mail, which is Beacon Group 271 Gordon Avenue, and I think it'll be posted in the chat. Please take a moment to make a contribution if you can. And when making a contribution, please put in the notes that your contribution is for the noon meeting. If you do not have a Venmo account, but you would like to send a contribution through the mail, you will see the mailing address in the chat. All contributions support AA's General Service Office. Thank you in advance for your generosity. If you're looking for a home group, we would love to have you. Our business meetings for this noon meeting are held virtually on the third Monday of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, following our regular meeting. The Beacon Group's overall business meetings are both in person and on Zoom on the third Wednesday of the month at 9:15 p.m. To sign up for membership and to be on the email list, please visit our website, which is posted in the chat. Our website has a lot of great information, as well as recordings of our meetings. We will now have AA announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
Hello, everyone. My name is Sunny, and I am an alcoholic. Thank you, Inette. We have service positions available at this meeting, and we would appreciate it if you're thinking about getting into service, think about coming and helping out here. And if you have a sponsee who isn't in service, send them over to us and we'll put them to work. If they have technical abilities, even better. And thank you in advance for your consideration. Does anyone else have a announcement for the good of AA? I don't see any hands. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sunny. We have a Beacon Group WhatsApp community where we post our flyers for the week and any other announcements regarding this meeting. Anyone can join this group via the link in the chat. Thanks to everyone who has agreed to run a breakout room today. Please keep in mind to give equal time to everyone who wishes to share. Do not crosstalk or offer feedback. Please take a moment to be sure that your audio is muted and wait to be called upon. In a moment, you'll be connected to your breakout room. You will automatically rejoin the meeting at the end of the small group discussion.